This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and executive director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Welcome to this edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. And I have a very special guest today. We're in touch with him right now by means of the miracles of modern technology, in spite of their difficulties sometimes. He's in Cape Town, South Africa. Peter Hammond is, among other things, the author of Security and Survival. He's the founder of Frontline Fellowship, which reaches out to war-torn areas of Africa, bringing the gospel and bringing other forms of assistance. And it's a real treat to be able to talk to Peter about his book today, Security and Survival. Peter, I think you've probably had some actual experience in staying alive in difficult situations.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Larry. Very good to be with you. And yes, I think as long as I can remember, survival has been part of our life. I was brought up in Rhodesia, what today is Zimbabwe, and Rhodesia back in 1960s and 70s was a war-torn country. And I remember the highlight of my year was going on bushcraft survival course, which is part of what we had to do at school. They'd send us for a week, a year, and we'd be with the game rangers. The game ranger would teach us tracking, anti-tracking, how to survive in the bush, you know, all the basic things, water and shelter and food and how to do purification in the wild and to survive in adverse circumstances and how to find water and all that sort of thing. And then, of course, watch out for landmines and be alert for ambushes and never open the door without switching off the light behind
you. Now, let me just jump in. Were you in a special school? Were you in a special school, or was this the curriculum in many of the schools in Rhodesia?
No, this was all the schools in Rhodesia. This was totally normal. I went to a normal school in Rhodesia, Milton High School and Milton Junior. And in fact, we were doing it in junior school and high school. It was great to grow up in a situation where the schools actually taught you things like survival. And we also had cadets, and we had shooting. They used tutus at school. So, it's kind of strange to hear about the kind of schools today where they don't teach you anything that you actually need in life, especially not survival. And they teach you gender confusion and nonsense like that, which wasn't very helpful for people back when I was being brought up. What we were being given was things that we could use to stay alive during a terrorist war and in adverse, hostile conditions.
Well, it was that kind of condition that ultimately led you to establish Frontline Fellowship. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have or your associates haven't been in most of the countries on the African continent, certainly sub-Saharan. And that's really a remarkable outreach. And when we talk about mission outreach, we often don't think about something like that. We might think about going to one of our center cities or perhaps even another state, but to trek perhaps as much as almost 5,000 miles across conditions. It was you or one of your colleagues that told me, and it influenced my decision on what kind of car to buy, that going up and down the length of Africa, many vehicles are left abandoned on the side of the road. There's not exactly a service station at every corner.
Yes, I've ministered in over 36 countries over the last 36 years of Frontline Fellowship, serving persecuted churches and restricted access areas. During that time, I've been involved in 9 different wars, actually, and helping the resistance fighters like RENAMO, anti-communist guerrillas, Mozambique, UNITA, and Angola, the SPLA, the Sudanese People's Liberation Army in Sudan, training their chaplains and their medics, and working with the soldiers behind enemy lines, helping persecute churches. And so we've had to learn how to survive, because I've been rocketed and strafed and bombed by aerial bombardment. We've been arrested, we've been captured, we've been imprisoned, experienced the waterboarding and other tortures that the communists have given us in imprisonment. And, of course, I would say that waterboarding would have been nice because I believe that American allied forces use water. The communists I was dealing with, they waterboarded us in human filth and urine. So, obviously, they don't play as nice as our people do, and infections and disease are part of it. So, yes, so we've experienced everything from terrorism, capture, imprisonment, theft, fire, bombardment, aerial, rocket, artillery fire. And in those situations, it really focuses your mind, and it radically improves your prayer life. So, you can imagine why I was inspired to produce a book on security and survival.
Indeed. Well, it's something that, as a general matter, even if we don't face some of the conditions that you do in your part of the world, the idea of just being prepared, being afraid, may be a natural response, but being prepared can overcome many of the problems of fear, the bad decisions that we make, the loss of motor control that we might suffer, if we're prepared. And I liked one of the statements, I think this is close to a direct quote, that bad times are good for spiritual work. And it, indeed, there's no atheists in foxholes was a World War II saying here in the States. And it sounds like in your experience, you didn't find too many atheists when they were under fire.
That is so true, and that's why I actually prefer working in war zones of Africa to ministering in the States. You know, it's not that I don't enjoy some of the comforts and conveniences of being in America, but, you know, being with people who are mostly apathetic and comfortable, you can't compare that with ministering to the persecuted church where lives are at stake and there's an intensity and an openness. I think the biggest threat to the church is not persecution or opposition. The greatest threat is apathy. And that's what I like, is being in a conflict area. There's no apathy, and it also sharpens up our own lives, since you can't exactly backslide when your life could end any moment.
In a historical context, I think your point is supported from history. The Roman Empire, in a way, was part of the growth of Christianity when it persecuted Christians. But when Christians had a Christian emperor and became the official religion of the government, that was the beginning of a long time getting flabby and really losing cultural impact in the Roman Empire.
That is true. And if you think of the natural state of man originally was to be a hunter and to be a soldier, to be a farmer, to be active. And so our society became very sedentary. Now, you know, when people were fighting or hunting, they were getting lean and mean and focused and alert and accurate. And so hardship can strengthen you, but comfort can actually weaken you. And therefore, that's why I think if we are not involved in active warfare, we should actually be training for it. Like the Swiss. The Swiss don't have an army. The Swiss are an army. Switzerland believes in preparedness. If you want peace, prepare for war. So I think it's good for all of us to have some kind of sport, preferably a martial sport. I think that not only keeps our bodies fit and alert, but our minds healthy as well. So to me, sports like fencing, sword fighting, target shooting, archery, practical pistol, combat shooting, karate, kickboxing, judo, archery, anything along those lines is helpful. We really need to build up defensive skills. Let's remember that while our children are playing games, their children in many parts of the world are training how to kill you and your children. So we're living in a violent, dangerous world, and there's a lot of groups out there who would like to kill you, who hate you just because you aren't like them. And
let's suspend for the break that's coming upon us, and let's try to pick up on this point about being prepared. And I wanted to especially go to churches needing security committees. We have to think about that now in America. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Peter Hammond, he heads up Frontline Fellowship, and he has written a book, Security and Survival, which maybe we could initially think that, well, that's perhaps a very good subject for somebody living in Africa where there are so many areas of conflict, and that's certainly where Peter does minister. But we
we're not immune from it here in the United States, and we've been suffering from attacks mostly by Muslim terrorists, and it seems that we have such a politically correct establishment that they don't want to recognize, A, that it's almost always Muslims, and that the Quran itself is a war manual. It instructs its believers to kill unbelievers very explicitly. I'm not paraphrasing. Oh, Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, said the tree. Go and kill him. That's not the kind of talk you see in the Bible. So we have a conflict of worldviews that produces real conflict. Peter, you've been dealing with it in Africa, but we're beginning to get a taste of it here. And one of the things that caught my eye in your book, Security and Survival, was the idea that churches need to have security committees. And I think that probably strikes many here still as a bit odd. And yet churches have been attacked because they've too frequently been gun-free zones.
That is so true. You're quite right, Larry. And we do need to be prepared. And you'll remember that when you came out and visited us in South Africa in 1993, you were advising us to carry and be prepared. And one of our missionaries, Charles van Dijk, took your advice. And he was therefore armed when terrorists burst into his church at St. James, the biggest evangelical church in Cape Town, 25th of July, 1993, and opened fire on the congregation, hurling hand grenades amidst the people. But instead of them killing hundreds, which may easily have happened had they been unopposed, one man with a snub-nosed 38 revolver shot back and made them curtail the attack when one of them got wounded, and they fled. And
you know, Charles' choice of handgun kind of reminds me that if God wants the stone in David's sling to hit Goliath, who's probably 16, 17 feet tall, and find that one little spot in his armor where the stone could do the job, that's pretty equivalent to what happened when Charles used that little tiny 38. But one of the bullets did hit one of the attackers, and they fled. Wow. That was pretty dramatic.
It's David versus Goliath, indeed. And so, you know, many of us may say, well, you know, what can I do? Well, that's the thing. We can all do something, and we need to do everything we can. And when we've done everything we can, then we can trust God to do what we cannot. We don't put our trust in our weapons or our security plans. We put our trust in God, but we need to do our responsibility. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. And yes, he could trust God to protect them, but he had to do his part, and God would do his. So we have no right to expect God to protect us until we've done everything we can. And so just as David could go into the valley saying, you come with your shield, your spear, and your javelin. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel, who you've defied. And David took his sling. He didn't put his trust in the sling, but he took his sling and he used it, and God enabled him to hit the target and to win the victory. And as Charles was able to do that night, 25 July 1993 at St. James in Cape Town, and he saved hundreds of lives. It wasn't only St. James that was targeted. They were planning to go up the road and attack another church, a Christ church, just about a kilometer away immediately afterwards. And they abandoned it when one of the people got injured, and they met resistance in what they thought was a liberal, soft target where no one would be armed. So armed citizens save lives. And we certainly want to encourage, as a mission that is focused on persecuted churches, we have all too often seen churches attacked, both aerial bombardments and artillery bombardments, terrorists bursting in. Just in Nigeria, northern Nigeria, where I've ministered, just in 5 years, in 2010 to 2015, a five-year period, 1,000 church buildings were attacked in northern Nigeria alone, just in those 5 years. 17,000 Christians killed in those 1,000 church attacks by Boko Haram in northern Nigeria alone. So you can see, okay, you say that's not happening in America at the same rate, but it could at a certain stage. You've got enough radical Muslim jihadist sympathizers in the U.S. right now for things like that to happen. How many churches have a security ministry, or if you're a very small church, at least a security deacon, a single person designated and responsible to consider likely scenarios and take necessary practical steps to counter these dangers, to harden your targets?
That is something that I'm happy to say my own church has done, and we've been evaluating our vulnerabilities and what we can do to address those. But I don't think it's something yet that many churches have considered. Well, I'm not aware of it. And yet churches have been among the places that have been targeted by mass murderers in this country. The one in Charleston, South Carolina, there was no requirement by law that that church be unarmed. But in fact, it was a kind of liberal church. And the result was nobody was carrying a gun. And the killer had free range. And that's kind of the story of gun-free zones, whether people are required by law to be free of a gun or whether it has, in the case of that church, they just didn't see the need for it. And it's, that's only one church. I could point to others. There was one in Texas recently. So it's it ought to be a wake-up call for us, and hopefully your book, Security and Survival, will help those that have awakened to see some concrete things they can do.
Well, yes, and that's what I wanted to be, very practical, very concrete, very hands on the ground. And so we cover a wide range of different preparedness subjects and give case studies like the home invasion where my elder brother's home was targeted by five armed men, burst through the gate, in through the front door, and my brother had to confront in the hallway while his wife and daughter went to the safe room for protection, and he shot the leader of the attack right in his hallway. So I give that case study in the St. James Massacre, of course, in Switzerland.
Peter, that was your brother's example was, I think, instructive about all too typical a shootout. It was very brief. Your brother didn't fire first. The thugs were shooting at him, and they either emptied their gun or they got jammed or something. And he finally shot back and hit one of them, and that, of course, ended the attack. But the distance between them was not much more than a man's length. And yet they didn't hit him.
3 meters apart, in a hallway, 3 meters apart. And this thug fired multiple rounds at my brother, missing each time. My brother did not have a round in the chamber. He had picked his firearm up from his bedside table, walked out, but it didn't have a round chambered. He had to chamber the round under fire, which is, if anyone's done it, you must know that's hard. But my brother had been a veteran of the Rhodesian War and the Rhodesian Light Infantry, so he managed. It's wise to have a round in the chamber at all times, actually. But at any rate, he chambered his round under fire, and he managed to hit the thug in his chest, stomach, two shots.
He was an example of grace under fire. We're coming to another break. Peter, let me give way to that music, and we'll be back shortly. Continue with Peter Ammon, Security and Survival.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late.
New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
My guest today is Peter Hammond. He's on the line from South Africa, Cape Town. He's the author of Security and Survival. And I was just looking online as we were at break, but I believe, I believe, Peter, that your book may be available on Amazon. Still looking, but in any case...
It's even available as an e-book. We can mail out from South Africa. We've shipped them up to our mission office in Colorado as well. It's possible that one can get almost anything through Amazon. Probably get cheaper for us. But it's also available as an e-book now, too. So this is it's covering a whole range of things. There's 15 chapters. There's a bunch of appendixes. I've got a Rhodesian Special Air Service, a C Squadron veteran from Rhodesia, Rob Brown, writing a foreword. We've got John Weaver, who I think many people may know from the States, adding an introduction. I've got another South African Army veteran giving a whole lot of self-reliance and basic bushcraft survivabilities. And I've even got contributions from Charles, the one who shot back at St. James, giving basic security tips also. So it's a bit of a compendium. There's four of us who've contributed to put this together, and it's many decades of insights. The goal is that it would save lives, save the lives of readers, their family members, and their congregations and missionaries.
I liked your reference to Solzhenitsyn, who has said something to the effect that the strength of a nation depends more on spiritual than other factors. Now, obviously, if we don't believe that self-defense is necessary, we're actually making a big mistake, I think, and I believe you are very much in agreement that the scripture doesn't not only teach that we have a right to life, but I see that it teaches that we have a duty to protect life. And so if we're not prepared, we're to that extent not being obedient to what the word teaches us.
That is so true, because the Westminster Catechism, which is considered one of the finest expressions of Christian faith and practice, deals with the sixth commandment and makes it clear that as the sixth command forbids murder, it positively commands all due studies and endeavors in order to preserve and protect innocent life. And to fail to train and prepare and be armed and ready to defend innocent life and to resist unprovoked aggression is one of the requirements of the Ten Commandments. And so a Christian is breaking the sixth command if he votes for a political party that wants gun control or in any way wants to restrict the ability of people to obtain both the weapons necessary for self-defense or in any way infringes on those rights. And the law of God is very, very clear. He who has no sword, let him fill his garment and buy one. If a thief is found breaking any structure that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If anyone does not provide for his own family, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So the scripture is crystal clear. It's very disturbing how many Christians today are pacifists, and they've gotten that from secular humanism, not from the Bible. So we spend a bit of time just dealing with the biblical principles for protection and faith and firearms.
Some of the mistakes that Christians make, even pastors, you pointed to in the book, one of them, there are those Christians that you've encountered who are hostile to the illegality of smuggling Bibles into Mozambique, for example. So why then would a good Christian want to violate the law? It seems that they haven't read in the book of Acts where that same question was posed to the apostles, and they said, well, we have to obey God rather than man. And it just seems to me that if you're going to deprive people of being able to read God's word, that's probably a bad idea. And somebody who's even breaking the law, as it were, in Mozambique, is actually doing something that God approves of.
That's so true. In fact, I've just come back from a mission to Australia, and I was horrified to see how this country is disarmed. And the population is overwhelmingly brainwashed. They've got Stockholm Syndrome, where they somehow seem to think that it's a good idea to be disarmed. And I pointed out to them, you know, you're in a very dangerous neighborhood, and the Australians are disarmed, and they're right next to Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation on earth, with a population of 240 million. Now, Australia is barely 23 million. And 80% of Indonesia are Muslim. Indonesia has got a phenomenally large army, and Australia's got a very, very small army that wants to march in gay pride marches and things like that and be involved in safe spaces. So, you know, both Indonesia and China have expressed an interest in colonizing Australia, and Australians think that they're safer by getting rid of all their guns. I mean, do they have no understanding of history and where things are going? And, you know, if you beat your swords into plowshares, you'll soon be plowing for the people who kept their swords.
Well, it's a national version of our gun-free zones here in America, and one of the things that we learn from government data is that since 1950, there have 98% of the mass murders, four or more using the government threshold, have occurred in gun-free zones. Now, the thing that I find incredible is that after that many decades of experience with the total deadly failure of gun-free laws, why in the world would we want to continue that in this country? And, of course, you just told us about Australia being a national gun-free zone, and it could very well end as unhappily as many of our gun-free zones do. Instead of being attacked by a one-off Muslim terrorist, you might get attacked by a rather large army in Australia from Indonesia. Because they're increasingly radical in their Muslim faith, and that doesn't bode well for other folks in the neighborhood.
It's true, and historically, that's what happens. Everything detests a vacuum. The moment there's a vacuum, something else is going to come in and fill it. And, for example, a gun-free zone is a magnet and a target for any psychopath who likes a soft target. And Charles got this straight from the mouth of the commander of the PAC upload terrorist network, who said they chose St. James Church because they were convinced it would be a soft target, it would be unarmed, because it was a bunch amongst English liberals. So they knew knew they weren't going to target a church in Afrikaans neighborhood where the people are conservative and probably carry guns. They chose a church amongst English liberals in a soft liberal neighborhood because they thought they were going to have a free fire zone and no opposition. And
when you were describing...
A Christian there with a weapon.
Yep. When you were describing this, I presume you might have been in the United States, you record that an American pastor had objected during your presentation of how Christians in Sudan had been taking up arms against the Sudanese government. The pastor thought that that was being unbiblical, that we're all to obey the government, whatever. And maybe we ought to address what the Bible actually says about following what the government says, because we aren't to do that if the government is doing what it's supposed to do.
That is so true. In fact, as I had to say to this pastor, who actually was, believe it or not, a Presbyterian in a Presbyterian church, and he was complaining about the prevalence of firearms in the hands of Sudanese Christians and what was I doing carrying an assault rifle inside Sudan. And so I said, what do Christians in America celebrate on the 4th of July? And he seemed confused. So I reminded him that his founding fathers unilaterally declared independence from Great Britain on the 4th of July, 1776. They took up arms against the crown because the British failed to rule the Americans in accordance with Magna Carta of 1215 and the English Bill of Rights of 1689. So they said, well, King George was in violation of his coronation oath because he was a power, but he was not an authority. He was not ruling in accordance with the law, Magna Carta, the Great Charter, and the Common Law of England. And at the entranceway to their church, they had a framed colored picture on the wall of early American settlers walking to church carrying their rifles to their Bibles.
And what a disconnect. Peter, let's pick up with that picture. Let's pick up with that picture. That's a great way to point to what we're talking about. Talking with Peter Hammond, Security and Survival. You can also find him at frontlinemissionssa.org.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
With the Puritans walking through a shallow snow on their way to church, Bible in one arm and a musket in the other, was, I thought, sort of ahead of its time, because we now have had our late President Obama complain about bitter clingers who bitterly cling to their guns and their Bible. And it seems to me that the caption on the picture you just described could be the first bitter clingers in America. And I have a picture on my wall that's somewhat related to that. It's a representation of Pastor Peter Muhlenberg, who preached in the Shenandoah Valley. And at the time of the War for Independence, he gave a sermon from Lamentations and said, there's a time for this and a time for that. And he concluded by saying, and there's a time for peace, but now it's a time for war. And in the picture I'm looking at right now, he's flinging off his clerical gown, and underneath is an officer's uniform in the Continental Army. And he, as many, many, many other pastors of that time in colonial America, marched down the center aisle of the church outside and mustered all of the men of the congregation that were able to sign up. And they rode off to fight with Washington. And Colonel Muhlenberg did not return as a colonel with his men for 8 years. That was typical of the clergy at that time. They were frequently the elected captains of their units when they went to join the Washington Army. Washington led regulars, but the clergy played a major role, and it's something that a lot of Christians here and abroad don't seem to understand. So when this American pastor was bracing you about your talking approvingly about the Sudanese Christians resisting the Muslim terrorist government while they persecuted Christians, he clearly is ignorant of our own history here in the United States.
It's true, and many missionaries today think that pacifism is a biblical requirement, but the pioneer missionary, the father of modern missions, William Carey, in his landmark book, which launched the modern missionary movement, an inquiry into the obligation of Christians whose means of conversion are heathen. In his chapter 5, he lists on the first page as essential equipment for any missionary, knives, powder, and shot. And when pioneer missionary and explorer, the best friend Africa ever had, David Livingstone, when he landed in Africa in 1841, he was well equipped with some of the most advanced weapons then available, including a six-barreled revolver and a double-barreled rifle, which for 1840s was serious. rescued many slaves. He set many captives free, and he had firefights with slave raiders, for example. Bishop McKenzie of the Church Missionary Society was involved in numerous firefights against slave traders in the Shiri Valley of what today is Malawi, setting captives free. And C.T. Studd, the pioneer missionary to the Congo, when he did his first baptisms in the river, he had a revolver in one hand, firing at crocodiles while baptizing converts with the other. And Mary Schlesser, the missionary to Calabar, which is now Nigeria, she included Maxim machine guns in her prayer request letter back home, saying they needed to counter the threat of slave raiders in Nigeria. Please send Maxim machine guns. I mean, I don't know how people in America would respond to missionary prayer letter requesting that kind of firepower today, and we're facing bigger threats today than they were then.
Well, it seems maybe there was some good sense then that we don't always encounter today. One of the men that you mentioned in your book, Security and Survival, is General Henri Guisson, who was the head of the Swiss Army during World War II. And he was someone that very much impressed me when I had a chance to visit the home that he had had on Lake Geneva outside of Lausanne. I was talking to the curator, and indeed, Henri Guisson, who was the reason, in my opinion, Switzerland was able to remain neutral and unattacked, unlike all the countries bordering on Germany during World War II. They never had a Nazi soldier in their country. And the reason was because Guisson had so publicly declared that not only was Switzerland armed and they had roads mined that the Nazis might have used to invade their country, but he said, if you read that Switzerland has surrendered, you'll know that that is a lie, because we are not surrendering. And that was being armed and having that resolve were the two ingredients that I found in that great man's makeup that led to the Switzerland remaining independent during that dreadful war. As you had said earlier, to remain in peace, prepare for war. Well, that was exactly what Henri Guisson did, and I'm so glad that you mentioned him in your excellent book on preparedness.
Well, Switzerland is an example of excellence on so many levels, especially being an armed society. I love Switzerland. I go there frequently. I've got friends there. I've ministered there. I was traveling to a minister's conference in Switzerland, and I saw a shooting range. There's obviously a shooting range, fairly high up above the road. But I said, is that a pistol range? I mean, you know, I couldn't see. There wasn't much space on the ledge before. He said, no, it's a rifle range. So what? Where they shoot from? Well, the other side of the valley. And I looked over my shoulder at the vehicle, and sure enough, there's the shooting positions on the other side. They positioned the shooting range over a major road and farms and cows and all the rest of it. And I expressed shock, and the man said, our people are good shots. That's what I'm not sure we are, but I don't know if there's anywhere else in the world we can have a shooting range. He said, well, space is valuable in Switzerland. But everyone in Switzerland's armed. Every home I went to, the young men, they've got all kinds of weapons. The old men, they've got all kinds of weapons. Every home is an arsenal in Switzerland. And that's why they managed to stay out of two world wars, because if you want peace, prepare for war.
Well, they certainly had the right man at the right time, because while Chamberlain was dithering and giving away security in England that contributed to the horrors of World War II, telling Hitler that he could go unopposed, that was not the message coming out of Switzerland. And there's a story that's told that Guisson was receiving I don't know, maybe you even recounted in your book, but a Nazi general was reconnoitering Switzerland, visiting, I think we might say spying, and he rather contemptuously asked his son, well, if a German army of 1 million men were to invade Switzerland, which only at best has 500,000, what would you do? And without missing a beat, Guisan said, well, each man would have to fire twice. It was that kind of moxie that kept them safe, I think.
In the First World War, American had a military intelligence man, Colonel Bell, I think he went to evaluate the different armies in Europe because he realized war was coming. And he reported that the French army trained at 40 yards. The British army trained at 100 yards. The German army trained at 300 yards. And the Swiss at 400 yards. And
by the way, that's with iron sights.
That is correct. And so it just showed the musketry. The Swiss had the highest standard of marksmanship in all of Europe. And it was true then, and it's true today, too. They've got the best marksmen in Europe. And a nation of marksmen on skis is a bit of a disconcerting target. As the Finns pointed out to the Russians, when the Russians invaded Finland in 1940, they also found a well-armed nation with a lot of skiers was something they couldn't quite handle. The Finns would take up the lead and the last truck in a Soviet Red Army mechanized patrol, and then they pick off the rest at leisure, and they invented the Molotov cocktails and things like this. And, you know, the Finns won, and they maintained their independence by being very well-armed and being very vigorous in resistance. And even to this day, Finland has got a high weapons presence amongst the people, and they know if they didn't, they wouldn't even exist as a nation.
Well, alas, we have run out of time. Peter Hammond, thank you so much for the interview. Thanks for your book, Security and Survival. Thanks for the work that you do at Frontline Fellowship, which, as I said earlier, is frontlinemissionssa.org. Thanks again, Peter.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.